The alarm doesn't wake me. The silence does. It is 4:45 a.m. The house is freezing because the heater is set to 62. Every degree is a dollar. Every dollar is a minute of my life I can't get back. I stay under the covers for 30 seconds. I count my breaths. I feel the weight of the day before it even begins. My back aches from lifting a 30-pound toddler. My wrists ache from the repetitive motion of the kitchen. I get up. I don't turn on the overhead light. I use the glow from the refrigerator. Milk, eggs, the last of the berries. I pack the lunch she won't eat. I do it because it's the only control I have left. I sat at the kitchen table last night with the laptop. The spreadsheet is my ghost. It haunts me. My salary is $5,000 a month after taxes. It sounds like a lot. It used to be a lot. Then I look at the other side. The mortgage is $2,000. The new child care quote for 2026 came in yesterday. It is $2,400 a month. One child, one room. I did the math four times. I thought I missed a decimal point. I didn't. After gas and insurance, I am paying the office $60 a month for the privilege of working there. I am paying for the right to leave my daughter with a stranger. I hear her stirring. The monitor crackles. It's a low, wet cough. My heart drops. If she is sick, I can't go in. If I don't go in, I lose the day's pay. If I lose the pay, the gap gets wider. I walk into her room. The air smells like lavender and stale sleep. She looks so small. She looks like a reason to stay. She looks like the reason I am failing. I pick her up. She is warm. Too warm. I press my forehead to hers. It's a fever. The 2026 child tax credit was supposed to hit this morning. I checked the portal at midnight. Pending. Always pending. The politicians on the news talk about labor participation. They talk about incentivizing the workforce. They don't talk about the 7:15 a.m. choice. The choice between a Tylenol dose and a lie, or staying home and watching the debt grow like mold. I sit in the rocking chair. I don't turn on the TV. I just hold her. I watch the sun come up over the neighbor's roof. He's already gone. He's a plumber. He makes twice what I do. His wife stayed home years ago. They look happy. They look exhausted. I check my phone. A text from my manager. Big meeting at 10. Need those projections. I look at my daughter. She's breathing through her mouth. I start typing the email. My thumbs tremble. I can't make it in today. I delete it. I'll be late. I delete that too. The truth is a stone in my throat. I can't do this anymore. I am a project manager for a tech firm. I oversee million-dollar budgets, and I cannot afford my own life. I think about my mother. She worked three jobs. She told me to get an education so I wouldn't have to. I got the degree. I got the career. I followed the map, and the map led me into a canyon. The childcare center called me valued in the email. Then they explained the operational cost adjustment. They said the teachers need a living wage. I agree, they should. But why am I the one subsidizing the collapse of a system? I look at the mortgage statement on the counter. $2,000. The house is a box. It's a safe box. But the box is eating us alive. I make a cup of coffee. I don't use the expensive pods anymore. I use the grounds. I drink it black. I need the caffeine to sharpen the edges of my resolve. I am going to call them. I am going to tell them I'm resigning. It's not a choice. It's a surrender. If I stay home, we lose my health insurance. If I stay home, my resume gets a hole in it that I might never fill. If I stay home, I lose the person I worked 15 years to become. But if I go, I am working for negative $60. I am paying for the right to be absent. I walk back to the bedroom. I look at the professional blazers hanging in the closet. They look like costumes now. They belong to a woman who could afford to be ambitious. I touch the fabric of the gray one. I wore this when I got the promotion. I felt powerful. I felt like I had solved the puzzle. I take the blazer off the hanger. I don't put it on. I fold it. I put it in a plastic bin under the bed. My daughter wakes up and cries. It's a soft, needy sound. I scoop her up. I'm here, I whisper. I'm staying. It feels like a victory for a second. Then I realize what I've done. I've stepped off the ladder. I don't know if I can ever get back on. I sit on the floor with her. We play with the wooden blocks. I build a tower. She knocks it down. I build it again. My phone buzzes on the carpet. It's a calendar alert. Meeting starting in 10 minutes. I turn the phone off. I watch the screen go black. My reflection is there for a second. I don't recognize the woman looking back. She looks older. She looks tired. I spend the afternoon looking at the balance in our savings account. It's a countdown. We have 4 months, 4 months of breathing room before the mortgage becomes a problem. I check the news. The debate continues. They are arguing about percentages. They are arguing about fiscal responsibility. They aren't in this room. They aren't smelling the Tylenol. They aren't watching a career die in a pile of wooden blocks. I feel the resentment bubbling up. It's a cold, sharp thing. I resent the system. I resent the timing. I resent that I have to choose between being a mother and being a person. By 5 o'clock, the fever is gone. She is running around the living room. She is happy. She has no idea what today cost. My husband comes home. He looks at me. He sees the bin under the bed. He doesn't ask. He just sits down next to me. I'll work more overtime, he says. It won't be enough, I say. We sit in the dark. We are two people who did everything right. We worked hard, we saved, we planned, and we are still drowning. I think about the caregiver's debt. It's not just money. It's the time. It's the soul. It's the parts of yourself you have to prune away so the rest can survive. Tomorrow, I will go to the grocery store. I will use coupons. I will look for the generic brands. I will learn how to stretch a dollar until it screams. I am a mother. I am a caregiver. I am a statistic. I look at my daughter sleeping. She is beautiful. She is perfect. And she is the most expensive thing I have ever loved. I lie down next to her. I don't set the alarm. There is nowhere I need to be. That is the hardest part. There is nowhere I am allowed to go. The silence is back. It's heavy. It's final. I close my eyes. I try to remember the woman in the gray blazer. She's gone.